So we're thinking today about a kind of second part about spiritual gifts. Last week, I preached from Ephesians 4, and that passage talks about what we might call the fivefold ministry. And I shared the idea that within a church body, for it to be healthy, for it to grow, then we find five different types of spiritual gifts. People hold one of five or more, not more than five, one or more of five gifts. and then those working together can help build up the body of Christ. And so this fivefold ministry, I don't know who was listening last week. Anybody want to shout out one of the ministries that we talked about last week? Prophets, thank you. Apostles, wonderful. Evangelists, teachers. Pastors, thank you. Okay, right, we've got our five. Excellent. Okay, so those were the five. And just to say again, I said it last week, but I'll say it again, that the exercise of spiritual gifts, and this, I've deliberately preached this series like this, because sometimes this is the bit that gets the airtime, because this is the exciting bit. This is like when we get to do stuff. But it's always, always, always grounded in who is the Holy Spirit? How does the Holy Spirit operate? What is the nature of God? What is the nature of Christ? What is the, what are the fruits of the Spirit? I'm going to preach a whole sermon later in the summer about love, about 1 Corinthians 13, because Paul is really clear in his teaching that there's no point in us exercising any of these gifts if they are not grounded in love, these gifts flow from the nature of God. And so if we do these things in any ways that are, you know, not in line with the fruits of the Spirit, you know, so if you're a prophet but you're not gentle, or you know, you are a teacher but you don't you're not faithful, or if you are an evangelist that doesn't bring a sense of peace as well as a sense of, you know, conviction to the truth of the gospel, then this is not what God intended. So all of these things are held within that context. So the lists of the gifts, which I'm sure you heard, are taught within a broader passage. In Romans, in Romans 12, we have this. I can't see it, but yeah. This is how the passage starts. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. And that was beautifully illustrated in our family talk, having sober judgment about ourselves. Now, people have different personalities. Some people are verging towards the kind of narcissistic end of the spectrum of life, and they may be tempted to have a higher than they might think judgment of ourselves. My observation of most people is that we tend to skulk at the other end of the personality spectrum, where we can be kind of really thinking that we're really rubbish about things a lot of the time. That is particularly true of certain people within society, I'd say, who are probably told that and socialized to that idea. But this is not saying either of these things. This is saying have a sober judgment of yourself. Everyone has spiritual gifts. Everyone has spiritual gifts. The question is, what is your gift and how are you going to use it? You're not to read these passages, oh yeah, I've got this one, you know, that's not having a sober judgment of yourself. You're not supposed to read these passages and go, well, I haven't got any of them. Don't know, I mean, I must have been, you know, I've got this picture in my head of, you know, people say, oh, when God was giving out, people used to say this in my family, if God was giving out common sense, you weren't anywhere close to the front of the queue, which is very kind of them. Or you might feel that, well, we've all been at the front of the queue for something, okay? We've all got it. But we've got to discern that, we've got to work that out, and we've got to own that. There's got to be a confidence, you know what? I'm really gifted. You might think this about yourself. I'm really gifted at serving. I love to serve. I just like to get the job done. I like to see that a practical task needs to be done, and I like to do it. And that brings me joy. That's your spiritual gift. That's great. That's having sober judgment. That's perfectly fine. Because comparison, we're told, is the thief of joy, because that's the other thing. We can say, oh, well, you know, I've got a gift of service, but I'd really wish that God had given me the gift of tongues because, you know, oh, that one looks better. That one looks more shiny. Okay, no. Okay, comparison is the thief of joy. Let us just be content, have sober judgment about what it is that God has given us. And also, as our faith and maturity in the faith grows, I think that sometimes God adds gifts to us. You know, sometimes we get the opportunity to do something. Oh, you know, maybe God's given me this gift now. Sometimes perhaps our gifts change over our lifetime. There's all sorts of things go on with spiritual gifts. The next part of this passage in Romans says this: for just as each of you has one body and many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Again, next week I'm going to really unpack this idea. But I've been talking about it the last few weeks. Diversity is God-given and vital for the health of the church. It's really, really important that not everybody serves, that not everybody teaches, that not everybody heals. It's really important that we have a whole diversity of the different gifts in our congregation. And perhaps we might identify that there are certain gifts that are missing, and we could be praying for those people to be drawn into our fellowship through conversion or through moving into the area. It's really important that we serve in our gifts and that we value all the different functions and abilities, because that's the other problem that churches tend to have, is that they give value and they give thanks for and they make a fuss about some gifts and not others. So, you know, particularly, it's just very obvious, but, you know, upfront gifts tend to get more attention. And the person that cleans the fridge without being asked doesn't get the attention. There is someone in this church that has a gift of cleaning fridges and without being asked, and just quietly gets on and does it. And I've thanked them, so they know who they are. But yeah, that's just as important as me being able to preach to you this morning. Because we all belong to each other. We're all part of the same body. That's why we make, not a fuss, but why we recognise membership, why we recognise the commissioning of deacons, because it's all about us belonging to one another. It's all about us owning together who we are and what our place is in this place. The beginning of the 1 Corinthians passage gives the flip side of this diversity. So it says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So the diversity that's so important is balanced by a unity of Jesus, a unity of the Holy Spirit. And that's how we can authenticate the gifts. Not only do we who hold the gifts have a responsibility to act, use them in line with the fruits of the Spirit, but you know it's a spiritual gift, or you know that it's a gift given by Jesus because it looks and feels and sounds like Jesus. Because all of the gifts should do that. You know, just as Jesus healed, that's how we should heal. Just as Jesus taught, how we should teach. You know, all these things should look and sound like Jesus, because that's where the gifts come from, and that's, you know, and they should look and sound like the Holy Spirit. So the creativity should be like the Holy Spirit's creativity, and so on and so forth. Now then, we've got several passages, and we're going to run through them. We're just going to put them on a rolling PowerPoint slide. There's lots of different gifts that are shown on these passages. And instead of me boring you all silly by going through each one and explaining to me, I thought we'd play a game do an activity, because, you know, it's good for us all to be involved in this. So what I have done is I've taken a definition of each of the gifts that are shown in this passage and one or two others in Scripture, and I have written the definition out, and alongside it I have written one of the gifts, and I've split them all up, so we're going to have six different groups doing it. Now, to make it more fun, I have written I've muddled them up. So what you have to do with the people in your group is to match them up. So the first one, well, I won't spoil it, but you have to match the definition to what the gift is. And then we'll run through them group by group, and I'll share with you maybe an example if it's something that's a bit more obscure. So we need six groups. You're just going to have to be, we'll work it out. And I've got some pencils. And so if anybody would like to help me to give them out, that would be awesome. Okay, we're going to stop now. If your group hasn't worked it out, then we can help you. But Pam, do you want to just read out, what you think? Yeah.
To effectively communicate the gospel to unbelievers so they respond in faith, a move towards discipleship is evangelism.
Yep.
To start and oversee the development of new churches or ministry structures, we feel is apostleship. To communicate God's truth through a variety of art forms, craftsmanship, and to creatively design and or construct items to be used in ministry, creative communication.
Okay, so you had apostleship, evangelism, craftsmanship, and creative communication. Do you remember when we learned about Bezalel and Oholiab? They were the spiritual gifts of creative communication or craftsmanship. I'd have them the other way around, those two, but yeah, it's the same. It's kind of that gift of creativity that, you know, some people can make, you know, the person who made this, person who, you know, made the table, the ornate table, these are, you know, God-given gifts for his glory. Okay, brilliant. Can you pass the mic on to the next group? Have a spokesperson there. Not Anne. Okay.
We had to effectively communicate the gospel of unbelievers. So they respond in faith and move towards discipleship.
Oh, you were the same group, I think. You had the same ones. So
yeah. No, they're in a different group.
We're in a different group.
Yeah, but you had the same sheets. So this is what they've just said. They've just said evangelism.
Okay.
So pass the microphone back to the next group. Sorry about that. Oh, Carol's going to do this. Brilliant.
Are we there? Yeah. Accomplish practical and necessary tasks which free up, support, and meet the needs of others. We have as serving.
Brilliant.
To understand, clearly explain, and apply the word of God, enabling others to grow in faith and understanding. We have as teaching.
Yep.
To present truth so as to strengthen, comfort, and urge to action those who are discouraged or wavering in their faith as encouragement.
Yep.
And reveal truth and proclaim it in a relevant and timely manner for understanding, correction, and repentance or encouragement. We have as prophecy.
Brilliant. Okay. So they had prophecy, this idea that God might speak to somebody through words, through pictures. They might get a particular Bible passage, dreams, vision, something for the present or something for the future, something that's going to correct, something that's going to lead to repentance, something that's going to encourage. All that's the gift of prophecy, serving those people that are going to get on and do the practical tasks which help things get along. Teaching those that can teach, not just through preaching, those that can teach in small groups, those that can teach one-to-one, those that can teach in Sunday school, youth, all those people that can really teach and explain. And encouragement, so important. Lots of these things we're to all do, you know, so, you know, we're all to witness, although some will have the gift of evangelism. We're all to encourage one another. Of course we are. But some people are really gifted. They're the ones that always remember to say to you, oh, thank you. And out of the blue, we'll just send you a text and go, you know, thank you for being like this. Or I really noticed that you've done that. That is encourages. And there are always some in a congregation. So, yes, some people have the gift of encouragement. Okay, to the back. Who's got the mic at the back? You should have different ones to the ones that Carol's just read out. Yeah, have they? It should be on. What were the? Okay. Can you read out the gifts that you had?
To authenticate the ministry and message of God through supernatural interventions which glorify Him is miraculous powers.
Okay, yeah.
To be God's means for restoring people to wholeness is healing.
Yep.
To effectively apply spiritual truth to meet a need in a specific situation is wisdom. Mm-hmm. And to act on God's promises with confidence and unwavering belief in God's ability to fulfill His purposes is faith.
In faith. So we often, some people have a gift of faith. You'll meet them from time to time. That despite the circumstances, they can more easily, perhaps, than other people, really have faith. There's some people in this congregation that are like that. I've got a friend who's like that, who, when I'm in a difficult situation, I was in a difficult situation, she's like, I know, I'm going to hold hope for you. I know that God's going to bring this to fruition. She has got a gift of faith. Sometimes people have a gift of wisdom. So, you know, they might, you know, some people are just seem wise, don't they? But sometimes they just always have that kind of right thing to say at the right moment to bring clarity. People have a gift of healing. Obviously, God also heals through, you know, medicine, through, you know, skilled hands. But some people will have the gift of supernatural healing and of miraculous powers as well. Perhaps, you know, in the way, same way that Jesus performed miracles, it happens as well today. Not as often, particularly not in the West, I'd say. But yeah, that some people have that gift too. Okay, right. Do you want to, either at the back? Yeah, right at the back. Who's going to... Oh, Mary's going to read it out, Bro.
Yeah. To cast vision, motivate and direct people to harmoniously accomplish the purpose of God, and that gift is leadership. To bring truth to the body through revelation or biblical insight, and that gift is word of knowledge. Cheerfully and practically help those who are suffering or in need, having compassion that is moved to action. And that gift is mercy, showing mercy, and to contribute money and resources to the work of the Lord with cheerfulness and freedom. And that is the gift of giving.
Amen. Okay, so again, giving and mercy, you know, we're all called to give, we're all called to be merciful, but some people are particularly, you know, gifted in that way. Perhaps, you know, they're actually gifted in making money in order to give it away, or they just find a particular joy in giving. In mercy, you know, particularly motivated towards those ministries, those kind of social action things that just bring relief and mercy to people. And then leadership. And then word of knowledge is interesting. I'd say it's a type of prophecy, but can be different. One of my favourite examples of this is a former pastor. He's gone to glory now, that I knew. And he was running he'd been approached by a couple who were in the close to splitting up. And he was listening to them both, you know, talk about why they were going to get divorced. And he was listening to them. And this word the word custard came into his head out of nowhere. Like, they were just talking, they weren't talking about their favourite puddings. They were talking about why they were getting divorced. And he just had the word custard. And so he stopped them and he just said, you know, God's just given me the word custard and I don't know why. And they said, oh, this all started over an argument. Over custard. And then they were able to have a conversation about how maybe they weren't going to get divorced and how, and so on. So, yeah, he used to have words of knowledge and they can be as ridiculous as custard. Anyway, but they bring revelation. They bring biblical insight. So, yeah, okay, great. Do you want to go over to the other side? Somebody got a mic over here? Yeah, brilliant. Go ahead.
So to understand what makes an organization function and the special ability to plan and execute procedures that accomplish the goals of ministry is administration. Mm-hmm. And to make known to the body of Christ the message of one who is speaking in tongues is speaking in different language, in different tongues, sorry. To receive a spontaneous message from God in public worship and to speak it in an unknown language that in the That is then made known to the church through the gift of interpretation, its interpretation of tongues. And lastly, the ability to distinguish between truth and error, differentiating between good and evil, right and wrong, is discernment.
Thank you. Brilliant. Okay, so we're all called to have a level of discernment. We talk about discernment, you know, in church meeting and kind of discerning, you know, what God's calling us to do, perhaps in our own lives, perhaps in the life of the church and so on. But there's also this idea of discernment of spirits, or just being able to sense what's going on, perhaps in the spiritual realm when you're in, you know, a situation. I knew someone in my previous church who used to know from going into a building. She'd just have a sense that something was off, and that perhaps a sense of unease in some way, and she would perceive that you know, there was, you know, something negative had happened there, or, you know, there was a spirit there or whatever. So sometimes you have that. Sometimes people just have that a real clarity of kind of judge of character, or kind of sensing that something's not right or so on. And that's all the gift of discernment. And then we've got these two gifts of tongues. So often sometimes it can be, you can have both gifts. So sometimes you can have the gift of tongues for public worship. So you would share a message in a different tongue, and sometimes, and then the expectation we're given in scripture is that someone else in the congregation will have the gift of interpretation. So they would be able to say, okay, that person was saying this from God. Happens sometimes in some churches. And again, the same person who had the gift of discernment actually was in a meeting, and she was singing and speaking in worship, and the person behind her said, oh, are you Italian? And she went, no. She said, well, you were just singing in Italian. And she's like, okay, I was speaking in tongues. She's no, you were speaking Italian. And so, yeah, so sometimes tongues are an unknown language. Sometimes actually people speak in tongues that are a known language as well. So there you go. Final group.
So we had to care for people by providing fellowship, food and shelter. We thought that might be hospitality. Mm-hmm. To nurture, care and guide people towards ongoing spiritual maturity and becoming like Christ, we thought might be pastoring. And to consistently pray on behalf of and for others, seeing frequent and specific results, we thought might be intercession.
Yeah. Brilliant. Okay. I forgot one last time when I was explaining the gift of ministration, really important gift in a church. I love people with the gift of ministration. they're the people who get things done. The people that are behind the scenes. We don't, you know, I don't think I've ever been in a church where they've, you know, really bigged up the administrator person, but they really should. So yes. And there are people that have gift of ministration. Gift of intercession. Those people that just love to pray and are really faithful in prayer. We're blessed to have some people like that in the church here. Hospitality is something, again, in this church, you know, we're really something that we value. And not just within our church gatherings, perhaps, but maybe thinking about practicing hospitality in our homes, in different ways, our generosity, and then pastoring, making sure that people are nurtured and cared for in order that they're guided towards spiritual maturity and becoming like Christ. Not just to make everybody feel better, but actually to help people to grow, for the body to be built up. Brill. Okay, I think that was all the list. I've just got one final slide to just think about. The so what slide, always important. So go through to the last one. I don't know whether it's jammed. Somebody doesn't want to apply this teaching. Okay, so what I said on that slide, okay, so it's so what? It's all very well learning about what these different gifts are and, you know, understanding scripture. That's brill. But we've got to impact our lives. One of my teachers at Spurgeon said, you know, so what? You know, God is love. So what? You know, so what? So what are your spiritual gifts? What are they? And how can you use them to serve the church? And then you get to think about three things. So we have seasons in life. So you may well have the gift of hospitality, but find yourself in a one-bed studio flat, and there's no way that you can have six people around to feed them, okay? It may be that you are in a season of life where you have massive caring responsibilities and or a very difficult work situation, and your ability to serve is, you'd love to give all your time to the church, but you just can't, because you've got to put food on the table, you've got to make sure that those that you're responsible for are cared for. There are many other things that make it hard for us to exercise our spiritual gifts. But there are other seasons in our lives where we suddenly find that our time is expanded, that perhaps for whatever reason responsibilities are taken off us, or we have a degree of freedom. Okay, so we have to be sensible. This should never be a conversation where people feel a sense of ought. It's like, oh, you know I've got the gift of X, but, I just want to do that, but I can't at the moment. God knows, it's okay. He's called us to our families. He's called us to our workplaces. He's called us to, all the places that he's called us to, and those are important. Perhaps you're going to exercise that gift in your family or in your workplace. I've done that. I pray for healing for someone in my workplace. She came back to church. She'd been away from church for a long time. All sorts of things. These things, if you've got a workplace where you can get away with it, because I know some workplaces, your spiritual gift is not just for use in the church. But she didn't get healed by me, by the way. She then came to our healing room. So that made me sound like I've got some sort of... But I had this sense that I should pray for her. She had a really sore shoulder. Anyway. Yeah, just make that clear. The other thing is you might have a spiritual gift but not sure where to serve. So think about what your passions are. So, teaching is a really good example. So you might know that you can teach, but, maybe you also love working with young people. So then maybe your teaching gift should be used with our youth. Or perhaps you're really gifted in pastoring, but you have a real heart for older people, so you maybe need to want to get involved in ministry with older people. So it's about the seasons of our lives and the passions that drive us. And I would say that finding out what your spiritual gifts are is important for three particular sorts of people. Those that are new Christians, those that are young in faith, I think it's really important for them to know what their spiritual gifts are so that they can get going and get serving. For those people that are serving in a way that they doesn't feel comfortable and you think, I'm a round peg in a square hole, I think it's really good for you to discover your spiritual gifts, because that's not... Sometimes it's just necessity, particularly in a small church. But if you can at least have something that you're doing that is really in line with your spiritual gifts, that's... just makes everyone happier, and it's more productive as well. And those that just want to serve, that you just don't know how. Now, there are different ways to do it. Some of the material I've shared today is from a course that helps people to establish their spiritual gifts, and you can do a kind of questionnaire, and I've got a few copies. But if you are someone who would like to discover their spiritual gifts, I think probably the best thing is to come and talk to me, because you can do there's a big survey thing, and you kind of grade yourself, as it were, on all sorts of different descriptors, and it helps you discern. It's not foolproof, but I've said several friends, I've done it, Timothy's done it, that's kind of helped you kind of, you might discover what you already know about yourself. But what is really powerful is when you give this then to someone else, a friend, and you get them to fill it out, and they can see, they'll often recognise things in you that you don't recognise in yourself. If that's something you want to do, then come and speak to me, and over the summer perhaps we can work out, meeting up and discovering your spiritual gifts. So we're going to finish now with some song worship. Let me just pray for us before we do, and then we're going to move to song worship and to close the service. So Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you do give good gifts to your children, and that you have equipped your church for works of service. You don't just send us out into the world with a task to do, but you give us the means in which to do it. And Lord, I pray that you would stir up in us a desire to know what our spiritual gifts are, so that then we can serve you better, that the body can be built up, that we can nurture one another and grow together to be the strong, healthy church that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.